Welcome back. So third episode of the DevTeach pre-event web session about DevOps, Visual Studio Team Services, Microsoft Azure, and so on and so forth. So first episode was about the general introduction, what are the different services, what are the concepts, the ideas, and stuff like that. Second episode was about how you can set up a build process, an automated build process, for your team, your projects, and so on and so forth, how you can go from source code to something you can deliver to your customer, your client, and so on and so forth. Today's episode is going to be about deployment and release management. So how you can, from your deliverable, take it from the outcome of the build and put it on different environments, and so on and so forth, that you can later use for automated testing and any kind of things like that. So in Visual Studio Team Services and Team Foundation Server, you have multiple ways to do release management. Before 2012 edition, you had something called in-cycle release management or release something, which was totally separate product, not from Microsoft. And they bought it in 2012, something like that. So this is why we got a 2013 release, because they started like selling this product as a Microsoft product with Visual Studio Team Services. And this is, take it as the grandfather of the current release management system in Visual Studio Team Services and in Team Foundation Server 2015. It works kind of the same, but it's not exactly the same. So if you already have that, I will highly suggest that you upgrade your Team Foundation Server infrastructure to get up to speed with what we're going to see today. Before that, they had something different called the Lab Center. And in the Lab Center, which was kind of part of Task Manager suite for Visual Studio, you had the ability to connect that to a whole System Center stack with System Center Virtual Machine Manager, Orchestrator, and so on and so forth, to make them talk together. So basically, Team Foundation Server was able to talk to the System Center cluster with all the VMs and so on and so forth, and the templates, to tell to System Center, okay, I want a new VM, please create it for me, please start it up, please install those tools on that VM, and so on and so forth. So it was ready for automated testing. This is very, very, very complicated, because before doing anything, you have to set up the whole System Center stack and then connect the two things together and sometimes pray for it to work properly. And the other tool that a lot of people don't think about a lot, but PowerShell basically, or any scripting language, whether it's Bash or whether it's the command prompt of Windows. With that, even you only have that, that's a great way to automate things, okay? And with the 2015 edition of Team Foundation Server or with Visual Studio Team Services, you have this new build system which came along, which we talk about in the previous episode. And this build system is also the same release management system. So basically, with the same task of orchestrator, you can use different tasks, of course, to automate deployments, basically. And enough slides, so let's jump to the demonstration. Let's see how you can automate your deployments and your release management process. So not right after, but the tab after the next one, you will see a release tab, and this is where you are going to manage all your release stuff, basically. If we edit one definition here, so again, it works as the same concept of a definition, and then instead of taking sources, it will take the outcome of the build and do some steps. On the left, you'll see on our panel that we haven't seen before. This is the environments panel. So basically, you could decide that you have multiple environments and you want well, first environment, and then the next one, if everything is okay with the first one, and then the third one, like, for example, integration, QA, production, and if in any process like that. Or you could decide, well, if this is a huge application, so I need to deploy it on multiple environments because I have different QA teams and they're going to test at the same time, but on different environments and so on and so forth. So whatever process you would like to implement, you can do that with the environments. So the first box here, QA 2013, is actually a SharePoint farm installed right behind me in our data center, I would say, which is our QA farm basically. And for each environment, you can either have the same steps or different steps. It's really up to you. So again, it works with the same task system. You will find all the tasks you had in the build tab, but in the release tab. So it's exactly the same technologies, exactly the same tools, exactly the same agent too, and so on and so forth. Again, because it's SharePoint, it's a bit more complicated than our stuff. What we did here is a bunch of partial scripts to do whatever we wanted to achieve, right? And one of those, and we'll talk a bit more about that in the next episode about testing, is running the performance test. We use Gmeter and then gathering the results of that. So basically what it does is it runs partial 1, partial 2, partial 3, partial 4, and gets the results of a test. That's what it does. If you want to have some details, well, per environment, you can assign approvers. So our QA guy is responsible for all the QA environments, and he's going to decide whether he wants to build or not, and when he wants it, he can delay the deployment for the next night or anything like that. So before deploy, he could also vouch after it was deployed and tested, but we only need the pre-deployment approval. Again, same idea, the agent selection. So you can run it on multiple agents. It's up to you. This is where you get to choose. Again, you can have variables for those deployment processes. Those variables can be per build definition, per environment. It's really up to you. And again, you can give the conditions for deployment. Is it deploying in parallel? Is it deploying one at a time? And so on and so forth. Other things you might be interested in are the artifacts. So basically, as I said, the releases or the release definitions will be linked to a build definition. So we will take the outcome of a build definition, basically a build, and then start from here. So this is where you say, okay, I want to use this build definition or that build definition. Variables again, but for the whole release definition. Triggers, is it starting manually or can you start it automatically? In our case, every time something comes out of Oceanic 2013 develop build definition, so a new build from here, it will trigger the release, and a new release to start, right? And because our build definitions are also continuously integrated, every time somebody commits, there is a new build. Every time the build is done, there is a new release. This is how it works, basically. Nobody needs to do anything else than committing, basically, and pushing to the repository. And some general information, and again, the history part of it. Before we finish that episode, I wanted to show you another release definition. So I jumped back to BizDesk 365, our customer portal. And here is the result of a release. So it will say, okay, on this environment, it will have succeeded or failed. You can say, okay, I want to see the logs and see what was, if anything went wrong, what went wrong, and if everything went good, so what was the process, and so on and so forth. And again, if I edit this build definition, sorry, this release definition, here you can say that we have a few steps, well, only one actually. This one will take a web package from DNX, so an ASP.NET 5 or ASP.NET Core or whatever you call it, package, and we'll deploy that to an Azure website. So basically, it's going to run a few tasks to get our build and push it to Azure, so we have our site up and running into Azure. So this is what it does. And again, all the tasks are available to deploy to a lot of different environments. You can even deploy files within a machine which is executing on Azure or whatsoever. So again, check it out. And if you don't have what you are looking for, Marketplace, PowerShell, Bash, Command, it's up to you. And that's everything for today, guys. Thanks again for watching this third episode. Next time, we're going to talk about test and how you can do automated testing with Visual Studio Team Services in Azure. And yeah, see you next time. Bye-bye.